keeps you rocking in your seat.
Oh, the big beat, baby.
Yeah, the big beat keeps you rocking in your sleep.
Oh, oh, the big beat, baby.
Well, you clap your hands and then you stomp your feet. You got to move when you hear that beat. The big beat keeps you rocking in your seat.
Oh, oh, the big beat, baby.
Oh, the grandpa just make 80 years old. Oh, man, he's crazy about this rockin' and roll. Big beat gets in your soul. It makes you jump and it makes you roll. Old Grandpa Hall just make 80 years old.
Oh, big beat, baby.
Big leg Joe, he threw his crutch away. The big beat makes you act this way. Well, come on, gang, let's swing and sway. The big beat makes you act this way. Big leg Joey, he threw his crutch away.
Oh, oh, big beat, baby.
For a beginning, huh? Hi, everybody, and welcome to the May 19th, 2011 edition of the Big Beat Show right here on WRSU-FM, New Brunswick. And as you probably guessed, I'm Lou Rollo, the regular host, and we're in Volume 2 of a very, very special show tonight. Mr. Sammy Strain is here with us again. Hi, Sammy. Good to have you back.
What's happening, Lou?
Oh, man, yeah. We got some... I know... Many of you, I already got a lot of positive feedback from last week's show. We're going to another show tonight, and we're going to go pretty much all the way up to the OJs and play a couple of OJs things because Sammy was with the OJs. But we're going to hit a few earlier things on the way up and talk to Sammy a lot about his career in music. And that was the Fantastics on RCA. What do you quite sure you remember that?
Yeah, I haven't heard that song in a long time, and I loved it. You know, first of all, I listen to the stuff now. We're a pretty good group. I didn't realize we were as good as we were. I'm serious.
Well, everybody else did. All of us collectors did, and all of us people who respect and honor the music that
you
perform. Yeah,
you know, when you're in it, you can't really see way other people see it. Yeah. Now that I'm out of it, I can look back and say, wow, I should have savored that moment because it was really great.
Well, you can savor it now.
Absolutely.
Because you had a long and continuous career, so there probably wasn't much time for reflection.
No, because I was always moving. You're right.
All right, well, that's what we do here on the Big Beat Show. And as I said, that was the Fantastics on RCA. And just a great, great recording. And we're going to go on to several other things where Sammy backed up some singers that you know, listeners, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Imperials, a lot about the Imperials.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully we can get to some stuff by the OJs. This is an early R&B show, and you know, rhythm and blues, rock and roll, sometimes gospel, and sometimes soul. So we're going to get to Sammy's. We're going to respect your entire career, Sammy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay.
And the Fantastics was just fantastic. What I'd like to do right now, Sammy, we played several cuts by the Fantastics last week, including one unreleased one. But there were several unreleased recordings that the Fantastics did for RCA Victor.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I want to play two of them now. Okay.
And
the ones we talked about, the one I want to play, first of all, is Angie Lee.
Okay.
Yeah, you like that one, huh?
I like that.
And who's singing lead on that one?
William Forrest, Sonny Forrest.
Yeah, Sonny Forrest is on that one. And then another one called My Girls, which I believe neither of those two ever came out officially.
No, not at all. That's my dearest friend and brother, that's Fred Warner singing lead on that.
Fred Warner, the late Fred Warner.
Yeah, the late Fred Warner, and the late Sonny Forrest, both of them have passed.
Yeah.
There are three surviving Fantastics. Larry Lawrence, who's listening hopefully tonight, and James Sutton in South Carolina, who I hope is listening, and myself. Hey guys, how you doing?
Let's see, there's a couple of things, before I even go on any further, there's a couple of things I had to say. Last week's show, I know some people had difficulty getting last week's show. It is archived right now at vocalgroupharmony.com on your internet. Vocalgroupharmony, one word, .com. Last week's show is up there now. You can listen to it. Not now. We listen to it at 8 o'clock when we're out of here. And this week's show will be archived there next Thursday, too. So if you're not taping it or whatever, you can get it there. You actually can download it from there, too, incidentally. All right, let's see. Now we're going to do a couple of more fantastic songs. And as I said, we're going to start with Angie Lee. And I have that right here. You ready to listen to it?
Absolutely.
All right, here it goes. The Fantastics, unreleased, recorded for RCA Victor. I believe it was October 20th, 1959. Here's Angie Lee. And then we'll go right into My Girls.
John Jones of the Continentals. You're listening to The Big Beat Show on WRSU FM, New Brunswick.
Bo-do, bo-do, do, 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 do. Bo-do.
Do, 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 do
Wow, I don't know why things like that weren't ever released. I guess it was just business decisions, not artistic decisions.
It was the sign of the times, just absolutely. Yeah. But those things sound so great to me. Now, I haven't heard them in years, Lou. They really sound
good.
Great.
Well, I'm glad you're liking it. Okay, great. And now, let's see. And by the way, anyone who wants to email me about anything, good or bad, you can. My email is bigbeat2001@AOL.com. Bigbeat2001@AOL.com. Before we go on to, we're going to talk about Pookie Hudson in a minute.
Absolutely.
But I want to add, last week we played Rubber Biscuit, of course, by the Chips.
Uh-huh.
What did you think about the Blues Brothers when they did their version of Rubber Biscuit? How did that affect you? How'd you feel?
I loved it, first of all, because I was just amazed that somebody remembered the song.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I saw the Blues Brothers did it, what was so great, though, to our listeners, I had the pleasure in 2005 of meeting Dan Aykroyd and Bruce Springsteen, Billy Vera, Steve Van Zandt when I was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the OJs. So I walked up to Dan Aykroyd and I said, Dan, I'd like to thank you very much for keeping something alive. Yeah. So Billy Vera and everybody knew who I was, Bruce Springsteen. He's looking at me like, who's this guy? So they say to him, that's one of the Chips. He said, what? Rubber Biscuit. So I introduced myself. He said, man, I'm opening up a house of blues at the Showboat in Atlantic City. Would you come sing Rubber Biscuit with me? Well, of course, I went, and we had a blast.
Wow.
And I got a chance to sing with the Sacred Heart Band. And,
really?
And John Belushi, of course, yeah. and the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. And did it affect you? Did their record affect you financially?
I would think so.
Okay, all right. I would hope so, too. Okay, good.
That's
kind of nice. So in other words, you got a little bit more there than you did from the actual original record.
Tried a lot more.
Okay, good. I'm really glad about that. Let's move on a little bit. We want to talk about a lady that you backed up that I think many of your listeners are going to know who this is. Joanne Campbell on ABC Paramount Records.
Oh, yeah.
And tell us about that. How'd that come about?
Nice lady. At the time, hanging out with my big brother, Richard Barrett, he did a lot of producing on a lot of artists.
Yep.
And he took us up to Don Seat Enterprises, who were handling Joanne at the time. And she liked the things that he did with the Chantels and other artists. And he said that he had a couple of songs for her, and she listened to him, and she flipped, and we went in the studio, and I had the privilege of singing background along with Kenny Seymour, I think Steve Leibowitz. This is when I was with the Impacts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we did Eddie My Love. I think we did Fairy Tales, a couple of other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other side of this recording was called, let me see, I have it here someplace. Oh, It Wasn't Right. And there's a group in the background, but not nearly as strong as the side we're going to play.
If it was a ride, I know that.
Yeah,
that might be us, because Richard Barrett wrote that.
Well, if it's the flip side of the same, probably the same session.
Yeah.
But just not, the group isn't mixed as strong as this one, and I'm going to go right into it, called Eddie My Love.
Eddie, please arrive. are the Spaniels, and you're listening to the Big Beat Show.
Oh, jealous heart.
Oh, jealous heart.
You have made me lose again. Oh, jealous heart.
Jealous heart.
When will I ever win?
Many of you recognize that voice, of course, as Pookie Hudson, but I'm going to ask Sammy to tell us about Pookie Hudson, but first I want you to tell us about Joanne Campbell.
Oh, man, she was such a delight. Gorgeous lady. Gorgeous. She looked like a little doll.
Okay, you can stop.
Listen, everybody had a crush on her, and the last time I saw her was in the 60s in Coney Island, but she had these beautiful eyes and this beautiful body, and she was this, she was just fabulous. She was great.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
And it was a pleasure to work with her, and her secretary, or Don Seed's secretary, was a lady by the name of Loretta, who would eventually marry Dick Clark. So I don't know if she's still married to him, but I know she married Dick Clark. But anyway, that was a joy and a delight to work with her.
And how'd you get hooked up with Pookie Hudson? I know Richard Barrett's
my big brother, Richard Barrett. he would carry us around under his arm, and wherever he went, he'd walk into an office, and somebody say, Richard, I want you to produce a song on such and such song. So, well, what happened? Pookie had left the Spaniels. He signed with Double L Records, Lloyd Logan and Lloyd Price, if you don't know. And
that's the two L's on Double L.
Right, for Double L Records. Right. And they asked Richard, you know, did he have a couple of tunes? And he said yes. And that's when I said, oh, man, the song I used to sing with the Fantastics called I Know, written by the group, really, and Larry Lawrence and whatnot. But anyway, he said, well, let me hear it. So we went inside. And I sang it for him, and he loved it. And we went in the studio next day and recorded it.
Yeah, we played that last week, and now I want to play the other side of that called Jealous Heart.
Right, and you know a story about that.
Go ahead.
We also recorded a song called Three Steps from the Truth. There was a fighter named Cassius Clay in the studio.
I heard of him.
Because he was hanging out with Lloyd Price. And he says, guys, I want to record that. I'm gonna title it Three Steps from the Crown. Mm-hmm. And he had three fights before he would become the heavyweight champion, which he did.
Yeah.
He never got around to record it, but that's a little story I thought you'd listen to.
Sure, that's a great story, anything like that. Now, we're going to play, as I said, Jealous Heart by Pookie Hudson, and backed up by who?
The Imperial Clarence Collins, Ernest Wright, and Sammy Strang.
All right, here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, on the Big Beat Show.
Roll, roll, roll your boat gently down the street.
Now, that's a blast from the past.
Tell us about it.
That was one of the first things I sang lead on with the Imperials, and we thought that was going to be a number one record. I mean, straight to the top. Of course, mm-hmm. they wasn't like that, but anyway, I remember it well, because I was a little nervous, you know, because the song was sort of similar to Tears in My Pillow.
Yeah.
And it had that same type of timbre. I loved it. I loved it. And I heard that it did well in certain parts of the country. But it wasn't what we thought it was going to be.
You know, a lot of things weren't what you thought.
Well, you know, we also met Harold B. Robinson during that time.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about him. Harold B. Robinson.
We were on New Time Records. And, of course, he had four young ladies called Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells. Mm-hmm. I sold my heart to the Junkman at the same time.
Yeah.
So we were like brother and sister groups, you know, the same label. Hal B. Robinson was a very wealthy man, owned a car dealership in Philly on Broad Street. And he had below his dealership, he had a recording studio, and he wanted to be an impresario and a music mogul and tycoon, which it didn't happen, but he had a big heart. I mean, he was like the best thing since candy. Mm-hmm. He gave away cars, money, I mean, recording contracts, and it was just a lot of people, I think, took advantage, but...
He never made the big time.
Never really made
anyway,
the big time, but he had aspirations of being like a Berry Gordy.
Yeah, and this was for the New Time label, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think one label was called New Time and one was called New Town.
That's right. That's right. You know? Yeah, that's pretty close.
And we were on New Time, and I think Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells were on New Town. I think.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, it was a great time.
Yeah. Now we're going into the Imperials material, and before we, you know, listeners, Sammy Strain, my special guest here tonight, and by the way, this is Sammy Strain on the Big Beat Show, and it's a fantastic night tonight, and was last week, too, but you went into the Hall of Fame with Little Anthony Imperials. Just tell us a little bit about that, and then we're going to go into something by the Imperials.
Right. Well, in 05, I was inducted with the OJs, and then in 09, we were on the ballot. And I didn't know if we had gotten inducted. So once you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you vote.
Yeah.
So quite naturally, I voted for Lil Anthony Imperials first.
Right. Yeah, he did.
Right.
Good for you.
I had friends. So what happened, I guess about a week before they had notified everybody about who was inducted, I called up the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I said, hi, you know, I'd like to know who are going to be the inductees this year. So she said, well, who are you? And I told her who I was. And she said, are you sure? And I said, yeah. So she asked me a couple of questions to verify who I was. Mm. And then she said, congratulations, you've been inducted for the second time. Great. So I started screaming. I told my wife,
yep.
How you doing, lovely wife out there? That's hi to my Deborah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was one of the most overwhelming experiences in my entertainment life because, first of all, when I started singing with the Chips, there was no such thing as a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And then when I was singing with the OJs, at some point between the OJs and the Imperials, it came about, this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, never really thinking about it. And now it's in existence, like, you know, for a decade or so. And then I start saying, well, they're inducting all these people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that wasn't born when I started singing.
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, the OJs were in first and then the Imperials.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You know, so now I know that, I mean, I see a lot of rock acts and other people that they're being inducted, and I was saying, wait a minute. Now, I know the Moonglows were part of the pioneers of that, but
yeah,
they're not inducted, you know, and a lot, of, especially the Little Anthony Imperials. So I started feeling a little, well, maybe I'll never get in. And then, of course, I went in with the OJs, and I remember Chuck Barsdale, the Dells went in the year before the OJs, and I heard Chuck say, okay, come on, OJs. And the next year, the OJs went in. So I was just amazed and elated that Little Anthony Imperials, we did finally get inducted. I was so happy when I saw Harvey Fuqua and the Moonglows being inducted, and the Flamingos, you know.
All right, I'm going to hear something by one of my favorites, by the Imperials on the Carlton Records label called Faithfully Yours.
I'll just remain faithfully yours.
There's one I really am not familiar with. Why don't you tell us about that?
Oh, that's Bermuda Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, once again, our big brother, Richard Barrett, yeah. he was there with the Chantels. Bermuda was one of his favorite places, and he was at the Clay House Inn, and he saw the moon coming out and setting, and he started writing this song about how beautiful Bermuda was. When he got back, we had just signed with Lou Dix at Capitol Records, Chantels and Imperials, and this was the song we went in to record. The song... prior to that, well, first of all, Kenny and I sang this together. That's me doing a bit in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The record prior to this, one of my favorite all-time Imperial records.
Faithfully Yours.
George Kurtz singing lead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, Faithfully Yours. Like the letter, we thought this was going to be a smash.
Yeah.
Of course, it wasn't.
Well, that's not anything to do with talent. That's to do with promotion and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that. Because that's a great record. I don't care when it came out. That's fabulous.
Well, you know, I come to learn that, you know, after all the years, you can't take it personal because there are things in place that if you don't have the proper promotion, if you don't have the proper distribution, if you don't have the proper material, you don't have the right producer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of, you don't have the right managers,
right.
the
mm-hmm.
right agents.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of factors that play into your failure to succeed in
right.
show business.
Now, the lead on that is George Kerr. Now, he came from the Serenaders, a group called the Serenaders that recorded on Chock Full of Hits and MGM. I wrote a letter.
Right.
And then later went to sing on the VIP label a great song called I'll Cry Tomorrow. A great,
Absolutely.
Great soul record.
And
tell
then,
us about George Kerr.
And then he became a producer. He produced the OJs.
Uh-huh.
He had a young lady by the name of Linda Hopkins.
Sure.
Hypnotized. So he went to Motown to write and produce, was very successful. He came back to New York, and this is what he wanted to do. That was his first love. So he became basically a writer and a producer.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him for a long time. And the next time I saw him, he had just done a song called The Choice on the OJs. He just did Hypnotize with Linda. And through the years, we've talked from time to time. And he's doing what he wants to do.
Well, you know, I look at the clock, and we're fast running out of time, so we always get to some little Ant. Remember Little Anthony, everybody? You know, this is a great career, but Little Anthony. Tell us about, well, we pretty much know about Little Anthony, but I'd like to know about the circumstances surrounding his leaving the group and then his coming back to the group.
Okay, in 1972 was when I moved to Los Angeles. I think Clarence moved to Lake Tahoe. Anthony moved to California. And we were at that age where I guess Anthony wanted to go on his own again. And there were things that I guess other members in the group wanted to do. So Anthony eventually went on his own. I opened up a steakhouse in Los Angeles with Red Fox and Dionne Warwick. Ernest went to Europe. Clarence moved to Vegas, and he had started a group of Imperials in Vegas. So after almost 20 years, I was singing with the OJs at the time, on tour with the Whispers, got a call from Ernie Martinelli saying that either Dick Fox or Richard Nader or someone was doing a show bringing back Benny King with the Drifters, Ronnie Spector with the Ronettes, Dion with the Belmonts, and they wanted to do Little Anthony with the Imperials. So I was off. They sent for Ernest to come back from Europe. Clarence was in New York. I came into New York. Anthony was free, and we did this reunion show. A month later, Dick Clark did his 40th Bandstand anniversary special. He heard about the reunion at the Garden. We filmed his special. He flipped out, and when we finished singing, I remember him coming out bowing. He got down his knees and started bowing.
Dick Clark did?
Yeah. Because he never thought, he couldn't believe that we would sound like that, let alone get back together after almost 20 years. So that prompted us to get back together again. Ernie Martinelli called me and said, hey, I talked to Ernest and Anthony and Clarence, and the guys would say, well, you think I would leave the OJs? And when we did Madison Square Garden, I was ready to leave then because I just couldn't believe that we sound that great. Yeah. So that's how we got back together. Okay. It had been almost 20 years, and everybody, I guess, had ran the course of what they were going to do. And we got back together, and I was with the group for another 12 years.
Right, I was going to say, stayed together a long time.
Yeah.
Let's play something by Little Anthony Imperials on the Veep label, something called The Wonder of It All.
The wonder of it all is that I don't know why you fell in love with me. I'm just a silly clown.
That's the wonder of it all. That's the wonder of it all. That's the wonder of it all.
All right, we're back on the air here, ladies and gentlemen, and we're trying to figure out what we're doing. All right, that was the wonder of it all, and I really like that. That's a really nice one on the Veep label.
You know, we recorded that record next to Teddy's office. They were one of the few
Teddy Randazzo
studios at the time that had a recording studio in the actual a building where the record company was. And we would sit in Teddy's office and make up backgrounds and whatnot and go directly in the studio. Had the pleasure of doing that also with Gamble and Huff with the OJs.
Okay, I want to play something by the OJs in a minute, but you hadn't. Tell me a little bit about Nate Bouknight. What do you know about Nate?
Okay, that was Nate that sang with the Shells.
Yeah.
Nate was a journeyman like so many people. He came through my neighborhood, and I saw him a couple of times hanging out with some of the guys. I think they sang together. I don't know if this was before Baby Oh Baby or after Baby Oh Baby, but I remember his name was Nate, and he sang with a group called the Shells. Then there was a gentleman that sang with the Starlights that made, what is it, to make a long story short.
Yeah, Eddie and the Starlights.
Yeah, Eddie and the Starlights. And he used to date the young lady that lived on the first floor of my building. And remember, I knew these guys because they were younger than me. So they, you know, they were like kids. And they say, oh, yeah, man, we singing. And I remember I heard the record. It was a smash. And they had on these white sweaters and pants and said they had just come back from Philly doing the show with Jocko. So I said, okay, that's fantastic. And, of course, the Mellow Harps you asked me about.
Yeah, I guess, but before we come on the show.
Okay. Yeah. Vernon, the lead singer, used to date a young lady that lived in the same building that James Sutton's wife lived in. James Sutton is saying with me in the Fantastics. His wife, Teresa, lived on the first floor, and Gloria lived upstairs over them. And I remember she was dating this guy named Vernon. Well, he came over one day with this record. I never forget, the label was called Tin Pan Alley. And I heard, they put it on, I heard this guy say, I love you. And then I said, oh man, I love only you. That's my first time hearing it. Mm-hmm. I loved the group, loved the record, went out and bought it. And years later, I found out that Paul Fulton, who sang with me in the Chips, his brother-in-law was one of the Mellow Harps.
Wow. Yeah.
And then our chaperone and protector was a guy by the name of Hawkins. We called him Big Hawk. He was the bass of the Mellow Harps. Mm-hmm. And his brother was Connie Hawkins, the famous basketball player.
Oh, really? Sure. Yeah. All right. Now, we want to get into something by the OJs. I want to ask you about one other person, though.
Sure.
Cornell Gunter. But before, I've heard a lot of funny stories about Cornell. Just tell Cornell Gunter.
With dear friend, the first time I met Cornell, the Coasters were playing a Town Hill Summer Club in Brooklyn. And I don't know, I think I was drinking a zombie or something, and I was out between the cars calling Ralph. Rah! And I heard somebody say, oh, you.
I never heard that one before.
Hi, honey. And I looked up, and it was Cornell in the car, and I was throwing up my brains. And,
wow.
And then I wiped my mouth, and I said, oh, wow, that's one of the Coasters. And, of course, I went in, and that was my first meeting with him. Yeah. But then once I got, you know, in the business, I would see him on shows and from time to time on the road. But he was a very talented man.
Yep.
The Coasters were ahead of their time. They were performance artists, and they would have killed Las Vegas, the skits that they did. But it wasn't meant to be.
All right. We're going to play something by the OJs right now. You said this was a hit, right? This is called Forevermore?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here it is.
Oh, baby.
Say goodbye now. Sammy Strain, what a great show. Thanks so very much for coming.
My
this just flew by, didn't it?
Yes, sure did. You know how time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a pleasure to have you here. And, you know, two great shows. Just wonderful. We just begin to scratch the surface, really.
Maybe we could do it again during the summer.
Yeah, all right. We'll have to plan for that.
We call it Thursdays with Sammy.
Thursdays with Sammy on the Big Beach Show. That's right. And we're going to take it out with something, with this a cappella CD that you guys put out.
Once again, my big brother, Don't Say Goodnight by the Valentines.
Yeah.
This is Ernest Wright and myself singing it. Ernest is singing the verses. I'm singing the bridge. I love it. We did some of our best work. For those who never heard Pure A Cappella, that's the name of the album by Lil Anthony and the Imperials. We took some of our favorite songs when we were growing up and, you know, young people in the business, and we paid tribute to them by singing it in its purest form, which is a cappella.
And it's on a CD, 2003, on the Imperials Plus label. I want to thank Frank Chili very much for all your help tonight, Frank, for chauffeuring and et cetera, and advice and everything. That's really very valuable information. Thank you very much. And as I said, we're going to take it out tonight with the Imperials. Little Anthony and the Imperials on that CD called Pure A Cappella. I think it's pretty much still available, and it's really, really well worth it. So thanks very much again, Sammy.
My pleasure.
And I hope to have you back sometime soon. And we'll take it out tonight with Don't Say Goodnight. And to all your listeners, thanks very much for listening. Tune in next week for another special show. May harmony be with you. Until that time, thanks for listening, and good night.
Don't say goodnight. Door. Just hold my hand for a minute or more.
Just 1 minute more.
Don't say goodnight. Please hold my hand. I'm at your command. Don't say goodnight.
Don't say goodnight.
Cause I love you so desperately. Oh, darling, won't you hear my plea? Well, go.
love you so. Don't say good night.